hour. Just stand by. Hey, welcome back, folks, to this edition of the Hagmann Report. We've got just so much going on, and coming up, just to give us an update, some thoughts, a good friend of the program, someone who is really a Christian warrior, a member of the Near East, or the founder of the Near East Center for Strategic Engagement, Sargas Sangari. You remember him. He's going to be coming up just momentarily, followed by Mr. Bill Martinez. But before we get into that, you know, one of the things in this business, especially, and I know you are too, you're listening and watching to this, you're short on time, but you like to eat well. Maybe you have a family, maybe you've got everyone's working in the house, going to school. What do you do for meals? Well, we found this fantastic meal kit delivery service called HelloFresh. HelloFresh is a meal kit delivery service that shops, they plan, they deliver your favorite step-by-step recipes, pre-measured ingredients, so you can just cook, eat, and enjoy. Let me tell you, the convenience is second to none. You can choose your delivery date for when it works best for your busy schedule. You can, and if you're going out of town, for example, you can pause the account for weeks at a time when you're out of town. They send you all of the ingredients. They come pre-measured in handy labeled meal kits, so you know exactly which ingredients go with which recipe. It's delivered right to your door in recyclable, insulated packaging. Everything about this, my wife and I just love this meal kit delivery service, HelloFresh. It's the best of the best. They source the freshest of ingredients. They have HelloFresh offers a wide variety of chef-curated recipes and changes weekly. They've got three plans to choose from, by the way, a classic veggie and the family plan. We love the family plan because just the way it is. The classic has a variety of meat, fish, and seasonal produce. The veggie, of course, is vegetarian recipes with plant-based proteins, grains, seasonal produce. By the way, that's my sister-in-law's favorite, the veggie. It seems like everyone in our family has a favorite. And then the family plan, it's quick and easy meals with all of the yum-worthy flavor the whole family will love. This is HelloFresh. It's the greatest meal kit delivery service out there. Joe, you're a consumer, right?
Oh, absolutely. And my wife and I love the fact that we are saving money, and there is really nowhere else you can find food where you can have fresh, balanced dinner for less than $10 a meal. And we love the range of their meals. We love not having to lug the groceries from the grocery store, and all the ingredients are in there, and it's so much fun to make, and it comes right to our door.
And you know what? Since Eric has just pushed away his bachelorhood, and Jackie has done the same, except on the female side. I know Eric is and Jackie love it too. Eric, pipe in here. Tell me your thoughts on HelloFresh.
Well, both Jackie and I dislike grocery shopping. HelloFresh has saved us the hassle. It's a big time saver for us because we're always out and about. And we're saving a lot of money, but not ordering out because of the convenience that HelloFresh gives us. We love it.
Yeah, you know, and so this is a family affair. I couldn't hear you, Eric. Was that by design or is that? Yeah. Okay. All right. That's good. But you know what? Look, HelloFresh is the place to go for your meal kit, and it's a time saver. It's a money saver. It's a quality. It's quality ingredients. You've got the flexibility everywhere, and we love it. And we can't wait till we get the package delivered door to door. Here's the deal now. This is the deal offered by the Hagmann Report. Here's the deal. For $30 off your first week of HelloFresh, just go to HelloFresh.com and enter the promo code Hagmann30. That's for $30 off your first week of HelloFresh. Visit HelloFresh.com and enter the promo code Hagmann30. It's right there up on the screen, by the way. It's a special offer, and you can't beat it. And trust me when I tell you, your wife or husband will love you for it. The meals are fantastic. The ingredients are great. By the way, we just had the chicken here not too long ago, and you'll never get tired of the different recipes. HelloFresh.com, promo code Hagmann30. Jackie, Eric, Joe, We're all consumers. We all love it. Now, a very special treat for us. Lieutenant Colonel Sargas Sangari, Near East Center for Strategic Development. Thanks for chiming in with us, Lieutenant Colonel Sargas Sangari. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. How you been? Because we last met together in May. We got together and you provided us with a critical status update of things that, that were taking place.
I've been pretty good, guys. I've been very busy, as you know. Neri's still doing his job as we're trying to inform what is happening in Iraq. Specifically, we met a number of times since then with the National Security Council. I think we're going to be going back again to brief him. Things have changed a little bit more for positive for the Christians. Unfortunately, now the Sunni Muslim Kurds and also the Iraqi army are going to fight it out again, probably even tonight in the Assyrian-held towns and villages and Assyrian-Nineveh Plain. So you might see information coming across the wires probably over the next 12 hours that our major fighting has broken out between the Iraqi army forces and the Kurdish regional government forces, the Peshmerga, given the fact that the referendum was just an absolute failure. So that place is constantly unstable. We've been pushing with the National Security Council to not just advocate for, but empower the Assyrian Christians to be able to have, in accordance to the Iraqi constitution, their own state/region and get direct funding for their forces in Assyrian and Plain to try to protect the root of Christianity. And since then, I know I haven't told you guys, but I put in my hat to run for the 9th congressional district out of Illinois. We've been collecting signatures. Filing dates are on the 27th of filing month, and I'm the Republican representative right now, going ahead, trying to get the congressional seat for next year in Congress.
Really? That's fantastic. Okay. Just to be clear, the 9th congressional district, Illinois, you tossed your hat in the ring. The primaries are when?
The primary is on the 20 March
okay.
of 2018, and the general election is going to be on 6 November 2018. So hopefully we get into Congress and we'll make changes there. You know, 3 years of doing what I've been doing with the Near East Center for Strategic Engagement, dealing with some of the issues we've been dealing with, I realize that unless you're in the system, it's very difficult to get this thing managed. So, you know, we just got tired of constantly going to D.C., realizing that people are just not doing their homework or doing their job, and finally it became a critical issue just this past month when I had the State Department folks meet me here in Chicago for a 45-minute briefing, and I realized that the documents that were given to them 6 months ago they hadn't even looked at. So, you know, the days of just allowing people not to do their job is over. And I said, you know, we have to have a voice in Congress, and we have to be able to at least try to do something to get America moving on the right track again.
Well, I'll tell you what, we are going to support you the best way we can, and we're going to urge everyone in your voting district to support you as well, because this is exactly what we need. Now, getting back to the updates here, and what's disturbing to me, what you just said about providing information and no one is, well, you're not getting people to look at it or respond to it, react to it. That's still going on despite the change of administrations. Is that what I'm hearing?
It is. It's turned for the better because the administration really wants to do something for the Assyrian Christians. But the State Department system still hasn't changed. The two individuals I met here from the State Department, both of them had given money to the Clinton's run during the presidential election. So you're talking to individuals who gave money to the Clinton for her run as a presidency. They're still in the system because you can't purge the entire system from the personnel that are there. It takes time to build the State Department folks. a lot of the individuals, younger talents, is leaving. A lot of the older ones are retiring, so you're kind of stuck. The system is a system. Our hope is that, you know, new fresh blood comes in. It takes time to train those folks. One of the problems we have, especially with vetting processes of individuals that are coming to this country, you know, you're at the 10% capacity. A lot of those vetting that takes place at the consulates or even at the embassy, you're looking at an average 3-minute interview with some of the folks that are trying to enter our country. And that's not good overall. The problem is it takes time to purge the system, clean it, and it's not going to be done overnight. It might take almost 8 years just to be able to point it in the right direction, let alone just clean it and set it in the right position.
Okay, and that does make sense. I do understand that, and I think most people do understand that as well. Now, the effect that you're having, and folks, Lieutenant Colonel Sarga Sangari, the Near East Center for Strategic Engagement, in fact, you can go to nec-se.com. That's his website. Read all about what they are doing, what Sargas is doing, the difference that they're making, and the advances that they're making to protect the Christians in the war-torn areas. And we met, by the way, personally. Joe and I met with Lieutenant Colonel in May. It was, and you shared some incredible information that we obviously you can't share publicly. Some incredible information as to the difference that you're making, that your organization's making, that the fighting that's going on, and the wins and the advances you're making. What's the biggest in a few minutes here that we've got? What is the biggest win, I guess, or victory that you could tell us about? And on the other side of that, what's the most challenging issue that you've got that you're dealing with right now?
The biggest victory is that currently I can tell you the administration now is really looking at the Christians as being a viable voice in the equation in the Middle East, especially in Iraq, if not even in Syria. We've tried everybody downrange. They all failed. They all have one thing in common, whether it be the Sunni Muslim Kurds, the Sunni Muslim Arab, Shia, or the Sunni Muslim Shia. They all have one thing in common. Doesn't matter what umbrella name you put them, you can't get where you need to be. They either turn their back on you, as Barzani did on our ambassador, and started making deals with the Russians to promote his wants and desires in the region, or whether or not they just basically take your money and they don't support your efforts. We need to have individuals who believe in democracy, who believe in the values that America believes in, and are willing to protect those values, even if they are not from the United States. And I think those type of individuals, being inherent in the fabric of this so-called enduring partnership that we have tried to set up for the past 4 years now with the United States in country, will alleviate a lot of these issues that we have with terror attacks and everything else that happens. It will alleviate the issues with vetting. So that has been a positive, with USAID now coming in saying we're going to directly start supporting the Christians. Not having to go through the UN is a positive for us. Is now trying to sink the system to support it. And as I said, the system friction points are where our biggest issues are. And that's one of the reasons I decided to get into Congress, to be able to fix those system problems that I've seen over the past 4 years and even over the past 22 years serving my country in the U.S. Army Infantry and Special Operational Forces.
And folks, we need to get behind Lieutenant Colonel Sarga Sangari. Of course, go to his website. In fact, it's up there on the if you're watching this live via YouTube, Near East Center for Strategic Engagement. That's NEC-SE. Lieutenant Colonel, we really appreciate you popping in just for this very brief amount of time, but we want to invite you back for a longer period to get into the really the nuts and bolts of things, because what we saw, what Joe and I saw when we met in person in May, it just blew us away. It really, I mean, I still think about what I saw, and everyone needs, or you need everyone's support. I really believe that your initiatives, your operations, we need to be backing you up. And in closing, what's the best way people can help you? Where can people go to provide an assist for you?
For us, the best way to help is with United Assyrian Appeal. You know, we have pulled majority of our forces off the battlefield because of the fighting. You don't want to choose between fighting for the Iraqi army or the Peshmerga as they're killing each other. So we pulled majority of them off. We told the National Security Council on 4 May when we were there at the same time that President Trump was signing the new executive order, giving a little bit more freedom for the religious institutions to support even candidates like me who are looking at running for Congress. We told them that we're going to pull majority of our guys off the battlefield. However, they need to provide for their families, to build those coffers. The fact that we may have to bring him back soon, and hopefully this time with a stronger support from the U.S., United Assyrian Appeal is very much helpful to us. Those dollars still allow us to get to D.C., have the meetings that we need to have, and be able to at least promote the unity of effort that we've been doing with the multi-forces now in Iraq. The other piece for me is, personally, if people want to support, they could now go to Vote Singiri, and that's Vote Singiri, hashtag Vote Singiri. We do need also money for my congressional run. So if anybody wants to help with that, much appreciated. So you got two ways of helping us there. And the biggest thing for us is be an advocate for the Assyrian Christians in Iraq and pray for them, because Amen. It's going to be tough for them.
Amen, brother. We will be promoting that, of course, your congressional run for the 9th District of Illinois. So we're going to be urging everyone to support you there. And, of course, the United Assyrian Appeal, we're going to be sending people there as well, urging support there. And again, please come back with us, spend some time, and we'll discuss the more intricate details of what's really taking place, the wins, the losses, the challenges, and other things. But again, Lieutenant Colonel Sagar Sangari, thank you so very much for your gift of time.
Thank you, guys. God bless, and hope we can see each other soon again.
Yes.
And maybe this time in D.C.
Perhaps. And we'd love that. God bless you, my friend. And, folks, a great man. We met him in person, and I can tell you right now, he is, perhaps one of the most fearless men I've ever met. And God-fearing men that I've ever met. And he certainly is his organization, and now his congressional run. What a treat. Speaking of treats, Joe, we have Bill Martinez coming up right now. And I want to thank Bill McIntosh from Acosta Media. What a great guy Bill McIntosh is. Of course, Acosta Media is where you want to go. Keep their number, write their number down, Acosta Media. Write Bill's, McIntosh's name and number down. If you've got a church, a conference, speaking event, and you need a speaker, this is the guy to talk to, Bill McIntosh, Acosta Media. And we'll put a link in the in our program description, because he's got the best of guests. And speaking of the best of guests, Bill Martinez, if you haven't heard of him, look, I listened to his program. In fact, today I think he had Brian Kilmeade on today. I'm not sure if it was a, anyway. But Bill Martinez is the host of Bill Martinez Live. It's a syndicated radio program in nearly 300 markets across America. It's taking the radio industry by storm. He's got experience in both broadcasting on radio and TV, in station management, marketing during this 45-year broadcasting career. He's worked at with broadcast legends, for example, Wolfman Jack, And I could spend all day reading his resume, but rather than do that, visit BillMartinezLive.com. That's his website, and check him out. He's ready to go with us?
Yeah.
Let's bring him on.
Mr. Bill Martinez, welcome to the Hagman Report.
Hey, good to be here with you. How you guys doing?
Man, you got a great, you got a great radio voice.
It's so inside of me. And I hear that from time to time, and it's just, it's just what it is. You know how that goes.
Well, I got to tell you, Mr. Martinez, I've been stalking you. Okay. Not really. I've been listening to you. I've been following your work, what a fantastic program you've got. What a lot of information you provide to your listeners. And it's no wonder that you are just taking the entire radio industry by storm. So thank you for that. Thank you for providing me my show prep often. So
well, that's very kind of you. I got to tell you. Well, you know, in the resume, I mentioned the legendary Chuck Bloor, and what Chuck used to tell us in Los Angeles when I worked for Kiss Radio, and he was a programming consultant. And Chuck goes back, for those that are kind of radio geeks and been around for a while, they might understand and appreciate color radio in Los Angeles at the time. Talk about taking the market by storm. It was incredible. And Chuck's philosophy was every time you opened the microphone, it was your duty to elicit a positive emotional response. And I tell you, that is held with me. That's one of those, you know, mentor sayings that you hold on to. And so even to this day, I hold on to that. I'm trying to bless our audience and even with your audience right now, it's okay. What can I do to add to your day and make it better as a result of, the interaction that we enjoy, whether we do it with experts or commentary, you know, whatever it is we're looking to add to people's day.
Absolutely. And, you know, as we were just talking about with our last guest, Lisa Haven, our hour one guest, about as she is in the alternative media. I want to ask you this question because you have a lot of experience inside the world of radio and TV stations. The mainstream media seems to be so far removed from reality. They're obviously very agenda driven, politically motivated, and they have, in my opinion, have removed themselves so far away from the reality that most Americans understand that they are, again, it's all politically motivated. Do you believe that the American people are seeing through the bias that the media holds today?
Yeah, look at their ratings. That's perfect. It's perfect case in point. Look at what happened with Donald Trump in November. They totally missed the whole cue. Look at the NFL. They're missing it time and time again. Main Street America is waking up, realizing that this is a government of, for, by, we the people. And what that means is that we have the government that we have because that's who we chose. And so in November, the people said, time to change, really seriously. And they announced this in the voting booths across the country. I know Hillary still is trying to figure it out. She's asking what happened. LeBron James in Cleveland is asking what happened. Well, the fact is you lost. That's the simple order. But the other thing is you got to go back to the fundamentals. When it comes to journalism and news reporting, your reason to exist is to document history. If you fail to do that, if you abandon that core principle, you're going to pay the price. I mean, look at newspapers across the country. I mean, they are a shell of themselves. I mean, before, you know, they were so thick, they owned the markets. Today, it's like, oh my goodness, you know, you can't even throw the paper anymore because it's so light, the wind will pick it up and send it right back at you.
I know, on my paper route, I can't stand it. I gotta walk. I'm kidding. yeah, it's a good observation. Well, Mr. Martinez, again, Bill Martinez is our guest.
Yeah, please call me Bill. It makes it too formal, you know?
Thank
you.
All right, Bill. Yeah, Bill Martinez Live, by the way, .com. BillMartinezLive.com is Bill's website. Now, Bill, look, so much is going on right now, and I know you're on top of so much here. If you don't mind, let's kind of get into what happened in New York yesterday, because as if we didn't see this coming, right? What are your thoughts on this whole mess that we saw in New York? I mean, we. 8 dead,
11 injured.
11 plus, yeah, injured.
12 injured, yes, right, yeah. Exactly.
So, here we find out that, you know, this guy was brought into the country through the diversity visa program, the Chuck Schumer Act, if you will, or the Schumer Act. His name, it's a very name in Arabic, means sword of Allah. I mean, how did this guy get in? Why was he allowed to stay? Especially after we find out that he was interviewed by the FBI back in 2015. What's going on here?
Well, that's what happens time and again, is that so often you hear after the fact, well, this guy was on our radar and they just couldn't move. And something has to happen in terms of the line of defense. But let's go back to the beginning and what Chuck Schumer did. And this happens, unfortunately, in our government, is when they see something not working, what do? They double down on it. They cover up. They misrepresent it. And, you know, up until yesterday, nobody heard about a diversity program. What basically this comes down to, especially in light of the current culture and the environment that we live in, not just in America, but around the world, is that this really amounts to nothing more than kind of an immigration roulette. Because, you know, there's some minor vetting. I've got to look into this a little bit more as to the amount of vetting. But basically, this guy didn't come in as a doctor. He wasn't highly skilled. It was a low-level deal. I mean, look at his job. He was an Uber driver. We've got poor people out there that would love to be working for Uber and making money as an Uber driver. This guy is an Uber driver. I mean, so it's not like he's so critical to the American economic system that we just had to let him in along with, you know, 4,000, almost 5,000 other, or 50,000, so 49,999 immigrants who come in. And this is a poor representation and a poor poster child for the whole program. I don't know how they support this. So here we are at, because of the globalist and this idea, including the Bushes, which I'm very disappointed on. You know, we already knew that Obama was this way, these no border type politicians. And to what degree, you know, you get Donald Trump coming in and asking, you know, he's asking the same question that Main Street America is asking. And even, you know, Kate Steinle's parents are asking, is how does somebody who is an illegal immigrant, and even take it a step further in California, who has five felonies, ends up with a gun and kills their daughter.
Mm-hmm. And we see John McCain just recently gave a speech. I'm not sure where it was. It was to a number of military personnel or cadets, where he said we have to abandon, I forget the exact word he used, was it reckless nationalism or extreme nationalism? And
right.
He called for open borders. And we see this as just a continuation of what we saw under Barack Obama. What do you know offhand any of the policies that were enacted under Obama that expanded the bringing the refugees in here?
I think at every turn he did that. You mean?
No, I know there's a lot.
First of all, they broke the law. They were breaking the law constantly. And then the thing is so ironic about this is they break the law three ways to Sunday when it comes to immigration. And then they have the audacity to go out and tell you, well, the immigration system's broken. Well, no kidding. You guys broke it. And now you act as if, you know, because you admitted that it's flawed. It's kind of the Hillary Clinton defense program, is that once you mention it, then it's old school. And why are you bringing it up? Why do you want to hold me accountable? That's already been settled, which ironically, that works for them, even if it's something that has happened only a couple of weeks ago. That's old news. You know, why are you bringing that up? But yet when they talk about a guy like Paul Manafort and something that happened 13 years ago, it's like, oh, this is fresh bacon.
Exactly. Go ahead. You were going to say something? Yeah. You're exactly right. And you know, immigration is the purpose of immigration, legal immigration, is to improve our country. I said that on my morning show. Not emphasize diversity, period. And this is what we're seeing. So you are precisely correct in this. But how, you know, everyone's talking about extreme vetting. How do you even do basic vetting with somebody from...
Well, that's my point. Forget about extreme vetting. How about just vetting?
Right.
And let's go back to your point earlier. When it comes to immigration, you want people who are going to assimilate. Somebody, like even after World War II, we were selective as to who came into the United States. It wasn't just open borders time. It was like, look, we needed some scientists. We needed innovation. And look what happened as a result of vetting and strategic immigration policy. We went skyrockets. I mean, we were able to, it first started with a vision from the president, John Kennedy, saying, hey, look, let's land a man on the moon. And he gave America a vision, and we were able to realize that, you know, within 10 years. I mean, kind of amazing that it starts with a vision, then you support it with policy and with people who can affect that. But if you're just open borders and you're leaving yourself, it's kind of like my old mentor, what he used to say. He said, Bill, you can be so open-minded that your brains fall out. And to me, this is what the elites have introduced to America, is America's brains are falling out, except for Main Street, because Main Street they don't pull any punches. And if you have any doubt, just go to a coffee shop in small town America, pull up a table, have a mini town hall meeting, and, you know, get shaken into reality real quick, because they'll pull no punches. They'll tell you exactly like it is.
Precisely.
Absolutely. And, you know, with the, what we've seen with the immigration in the past versus the immigration today. We talked about this on our earlier show. You know, you had groups of people coming over here, had similar views on family, even though the cultures were different, but they assimilated into America. They became part of the working class, and they were used to build, you know, the skyscrapers, the roads, and so much more. No matter, you know, on which area of the world they came from. Today, it's a whole different kind of immigration that we see. And from different areas. And what's unsettling is we see the Arab Spring under Barack Obama, where the Middle East is torn apart again into civil war. And then we turn around and we bring, you know, hundreds of thousands of these refugees, not only into Europe, but into the United States. And then we see this turnover where we have all these terror attacks increasing in Europe and increasing in the United States. But what's unfortunate about that is that for whatever reason, these people don't want to learn from their mistakes, and they don't want others to be able to fix them, like Donald Trump trying to implement a temporary travel ban,
You got to go back and take a look at what the initial motivation is all about. I mean, I know this is hard for people to understand and get their brain around, because they cannot grasp that people would be this diabolical, that they're so concerned. And I'm talking about the Democratic Party. They're so concerned about getting reelected that they're willing to sell the very soul of this country out for getting reelected. Okay, number one, the people who come in. I'm talking about the ones like the gentleman who did all the damage in New York yesterday. He's coming in with an ideal to disrupt and destroy everything that is America. America, by its virtue of standing and existence for 240 plus years, is a stick in the eye to all these oligarchs that say, look, this is what happens if you're God-fearing, if you follow godly laws and morality, you can have this kind of country and this kind of freedom and liberty. That absolutely brain damages these oligarchs and these despots that want to keep the thumb of oppression upon their people. And the people want, you know, they see what's happening in here, America, but unfortunately, you've got some that have been radicalized that because of our culture, and they can justify it religiously and say, you know, these guys are the devil incarnate. Look at what's going on in their country. They've got, you know, producers from a major movie house violating women and all this stuff. And the thing is, it's ironic about that. Yes, on one hand, it's true. On the second hand, you guys are doing it just as badly. But, you know, the Harvey Weinsteins and the others in this world that are yet to be exposed, the Bill Cosbys and that, aren't doing it in the name of religion, and they're not saying that they're being religious in doing this, whereas, you know, the Muslims, they say, look, at Allah gives them the right to do this. I mean, it's pretty goofy when you think about it, but yet they want to come here, and as many Muslims have told me directly, they said, you know, we actually have more liberty in practicing our faith the way we believe we should practice our faith in America than we do back in the Middle East. So go figure.
Exactly, and yet they come here and they try to destroy the very system that is giving them that very freedom, as you pointed out, which doesn't make doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
But they're ideologically fixed. And what happens here, and what concerns me, is that, again, this is up for, you know, these alleged moderate Muslims who are here in the country. And how are you supporting America? Have you assimilated, or are you participating in these no-go zones that we have well established? Are you participating and being a part of the problem because you're part of the, what, 1,000 open investigations that the FBI is handling on radicalized Muslims? I mean, they can't keep up with it. It's overwhelming. You know, it's like Condoleezza Rice said many years ago, you know, we have to be right 100% of the time. They only have to be right once, like this guy yesterday.
Absolutely. Precisely. Bill, I want to just ask you this about, what's your feelings about the FBI right now? Have they been compromised with, Clinton, Trump, Russia investigations, and what we've seen recently, even with the Las Vegas lack of information that they have shared with the American public? And we can go on and on with examples. Yeah. But I think in the eyes of the American people who have been paying attention, that they, are not as credible as they are anymore. What's your feelings on that?
I agree with them. I agree with what the people are saying. Yes, they have lost faith. And it started with James Comey, with what he did in presenting the case against Hillary Clinton, and it comes out after the case and he says no reasonable prosecutor. Well, let me tell you, I've spoken to at least a dozen prosecutors, and they say we must be one of the unreasonable prosecutors, because we get that case in a heartbeat, you know.
Exactly.
So they lost credibility. And the thing is that always throws up a flag for me is when, and don't ever say this about me, please, because I don't want any flags thrown up. He's a nice guy and he's apolitical and he's integrous. As soon as somebody says that, I'm going, who are you trying to convince? And when they talked about James Comey, it was always that mantra about him. And what are we finding out now? I mean, this guy broke the law in order to get his buddy Mueller brought in as a special prosecutor so that they could control the chips on the table. The chips are a mess right now. It does not look good. The FBI looks bad. Many former FBI, I just spoke with John Guandolo this morning and we went at length into this whole situation. As a former FBI agent, there are many that are really embarrassed. This has tarnished everything that they stood for and believed in. And they'll be quick to tell you that there are thousands. You know, there are thousands upon thousands of FBI agents that don't even, they're not in the inner circle. They're just about doing their business and doing the best they can. But the Rod Rosensteins, the Muellers, the Comeys, all those up in that level are all tainted right now, and they have misserved we the people.
Amen to that. Folks, we're talking to Bill Martinez, BillMartinezLive.com, Monday through Fridays, 9 to noon Eastern Time. You can get him on Genesis Communications Network, shortwave radio, a number of platforms, Bill Martinez Live. And I've got to tell you, if you've never heard any of his programs, you've got to listen to them. They're fantastic. And they're archived, correct?
Sorry, Bill, but just on a site, I want to say this. If you go on a site and scroll down a little bit, you can get a breakdown of the show, what was on today, who was on, what times they were on, so you can skip ahead if there's something special you want to listen to or a certain guest. And I really like that about Bill's show.
Yeah, thank you.
It's fantastic. And syndicated 300 stations and going strong, and taking the entire media landscape by storm. One thing I want to ask you about this, because we're seeing dueling narratives, it seems like. And I know we're jumping around a little bit, but I guess that's just because of my ADD problem. But we're seeing dueling narratives with respect to I turn on MSNBC, which I really don't, but if I have to, it's all Russia, Trump all the time. I turn on Fox, it's all it's more to the Russian collusion with Hillary Clinton and Uranium One. So what are you following here, and what's really going on here? And that's kind of like an open-ended question, but direct me, help me out, help me understand really the bigger picture here.
Well, this is the opportunity for shows like ours. We're we're independent, as you are, not beholden to an entity, to an editorial staff that says, oh, you can't talk about this. In fact, it's kind of comical. I've had so many guests on going, you can talk about that? You can ask that kind of question? I go, well, yeah. And he goes, like one guest told me, he said, I've been on 1,000 radio shows and they wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole. And I go, well, you know, we're pursuing the truth no matter where it leads. That is really our heart and our passion, because that's what we need to do, is get the facts out in the open. Let's get the truth out in the open. And part of the stuff that you have, the dynamic that goes on when he said, she said, or, you know, the thing that drives me crazy is they go, well, you think the Democrats are bad? Look what the Republicans did. Look at that. Doesn't answer the problem. We know it's bad. When it comes to the wackiness of the political system, it's equal opportunity. The Beltway is a mess. It is run by elites, the establishment. You know, Trump talks about it in terms of the swamp. And, you know, I think a lot of Republicans and independents thought, oh, well, that they meant just Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer. But what they're finding out is that, look, at we've got establishment types, you know, operating in the GOP as well, because they're unnerved. They cannot believe that somebody out of the political empire has come in and didn't pass go, didn't collect $200, didn't come in as a, as a congressman, but went straight to the Oval Office. I mean, and they, what they forget in part was there was a junior senator by the name of Barack Obama out of Chicago, didn't even serve an entire term, went straight into the Oval Office and had never signed the front of a check. Only signed the back of a check. Now we've got a true CEO coming into place, and he is shaking things up. And for so long, you got these elites making lots of money. They love the incompetence of the government, and they've been having their way. But now, all of a sudden, you've got a true CEO in the White House that is calling the question. I mean, a real simple thing. I mean, you go in there and you find you got 17 agencies, and you're going, "Who's the boss?" Well, I don't know. What do you do? Who's accountable? I don't know. 17 agencies and all the people's money going pell-mell, being wasted away, and we keep counting $20 trillion and more every day because of this inefficient government.
Absolutely. You're 100% correct, and I think it's refreshing to see, by the way, Donald Trump in there. And the
it's a change of pace.
Yeah.
A change of pace.
Well, yeah, the advances he's made, the numbers, if you look at the growth, the economic growth, the jobless rates.
They said he would never, he said 3%. They said probably the following year, not within the first couple months of his administration. And then on top of that, if you remember, any time Barack Obama got a number and they go, oh, well, we got to adjust the number. It always went down, right? It never went up. But with Trump, he's at 3.0, and they go, oh, we got to adjust it. So you're waiting for the drum roll and the disappointing number to come out, and they go, it actually went up at 3.1. We haven't seen that in a long time.
That's right.
Yeah, from what I understand, during Obama's administration, you had an average of, what, 1.5% growth, which is equivalent to the growth during the Great Depression after 1929, and then for the last 2 months, you've had Trump at over 3.0, which is a huge improvement, and as you just said, many people did not expect to see that for a while, if at all, under Trump, and weren't even sure that it was possible again. But let's
say that is done with fires in the West and two hurricanes.
That's true.
Now, some people can say, well, we got the infrastructure aspect hasn't really taken effect yet. This is just Donald Trump as a CEO coming in, allowing people to dream again. The lid has been taken off, and 3.0, I think we're going to hit 4 and 4.5 much faster than anybody realized. I mean, this is I think you look at what's happening in the stock market. How many consistent weeks of increase have we enjoyed? It's at an all-time high. And a lot of this is riding on the enthusiasm. I've spoken to a half dozen bankers, and they say, Bill, our small business openings are off the charts right now. People are mortgaging their homes. They're dreaming again. I mean, my goodness, it was so bad there. I mean, think about it. Kids couldn't even open up a lemonade stand under the Barack Obama administration and all the regulations. I mean, it's pretty disgusting when you think about it.
Absolutely. You're absolutely correct, and the confidence is back. And I remember and I'm sure you do too, the Reagan days, the early Reagan days. It's morning in America again, and that feeling that America had, all of America had way back when. And I feel there's that familiar feeling of hope and growth that we're experiencing right now. However, are we not seeing him in being imperiled by this globalist agenda to take him out? And do you think there's going to be any success in scarring or stopping or impeding his presidency?
Well, they've already done that. They've had some success in doing that. But in spite of that, I say putting a stick in his spokes. You know, I used to say that in business, as you get these people that come alongside in any kind of company that you work for, and they're just resistant to change. And what do? They sabotage you at every turn. But Donald Trump is very well focused. And I think, you know, the people that he has around him in his inner circle understand there's a role for them to play. They're not the president. They're not the CEO of the United States or the commander in chief. It is Donald Trump. And some of these guys are realizing, look, they're coming alongside, filling the void, filling the need that is required for Donald Trump to be effective. I mean, you think about, John Kent, Kelly and Mattis. I mean, Kelly was so impressive after that hoopla about LaDavid Johnson and his wife, sadly, and his death and the unfortunate circumstance, to me, that I think is unconscionable, with Frederica Wilson, what she did. She's there with a constituent in her voting district. The president of the United States, sets aside time to grieve with that widow. She may have misunderstood, and I've said this to my audience, is look at, if you've been in the military, I'm a former Marine, you understand when somebody says, this is what you signed up for. Because, you know, and when you think about it, only about 1% of America's citizens have been in the military. That's all that serves, 1%, because we are an all-volunteer force. So most people would not understand the concept of this is what he signed up for. You know, for people that have been in the military, let me tell you what, that speaks directly to our heart and soul, and it just hoorahs us together. You know, it is commentary, it is language to our spirit that we understand. Somebody, including a congresswoman or somebody who has not served, may think that's a bit harsh, but they don't understand. John Kelly, when his officer, who had to give him the news, a friend of his, about the passing of his son, the death of his son, he understood what that meant. And that was special terminology, and that's what he shared with the president. And the president took the counsel of John Kelly, and I just cannot believe in any form or fashion, and not that I'm personal friends with Donald Trump, but I believe I know the man's heart in this context and the way he's been to support the military. He had no intent, no evil intent in his heart to wound this widow, to do any harm. And when you hear the other widows that spoke with Donald Trump, they were very respectful and blessed for him taking the time to call them up and speak to them directly.
Yeah, exactly.
And we see, you know, the media, the people out there who are using every opportunity to try to criticize Trump in every action that he's taking. And this was really one of them where they went out of their way to try to make this, about them and their agenda.
Oh, shameful.
When he was trying to just comfort the family and making the call. And, you know, we'd expect this on certain stories and whatnot, but when you're talking about a military family and Gold Star mothers and conversations with the president to publicize this the way they did, it was just so disrespectful. I still can't believe that they did that.
Yeah.
Well, I got a text from Charles Wood yesterday. Charles is the father of Ty Woods, one of the fallen men. He was a former SEAL at Benghazi, if you remember his name.
Oh, yes.
And Charles, his dad, who was an attorney out of Hawaii, texted me and said he was so blessed because the president had sent him a message and said, we will not forget the sacrifice that your sons, those that have fallen, those have died in combat, we want you to know that we are there with you. I'll tell you, Charles was on my show. I talked to him, interviewed him today. He was so filled with tears and emotion and gratitude because the commander in chief let him know, as opposed to, what Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton did to them at the tarmac with their son's body in the casket, telling them that it was about a video.
Exactly.
You have that contrast with the president, Donald Trump. So going back to what you asked earlier in terms of the impedance that's taken place, it's all about this resistance to Donald Trump and what he can do. But people need to know this is how far gone our country was, is that we were that far down the line that we're still dealing with, I call them hidden landmines that Barack Obama and his operatives who were still in government have left there to explode on Donald Trump. And they thought they had it down with this Russian story. And wouldn't you know it, you got to love God for this, because God's not going to let this kind of craziness go on. And the very thing that they intended for Donald Trump is now come home to roost right on their pumpkin heads.
I love it. And I love your statement here. National radio host for God, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And that's on your Twitter page at Bill Martinez Live. And of course, his website, Bill's website, is BillMartinezLive.com. Listen Monday through Friday, 9 to noon. Monday through Friday, 9 to noon on Genesis Communications Network. Bill, we only have about 5 minutes left of our time together, and you've been so gracious with your time, because I know you're a busy guy, and you put a lot into your programs. I could tell, man, you're on fire every day. What are you looking at now? Kind of in a broad form here, what are you looking at, and what concerns you the most in terms of what we're seeing today? Anything at all, everything, or what are you zeroing in on? Is one of the issues of concern that you might have?
Well, what I'm focusing in on is that we have to get back to focus on the essentials here. There's so many things to deal with. We live in an information society. We're bombarded with all kinds of information that, I believe that because we're on information overload, we lose sight of the most important aspects of our society. And I believe the family, which Dr. James Dobson for many years had warned about, that was under attack. And you look at what has gone on, the core, you know, when we grew up, my dad was a World War II veteran, a medic. He served in the European theater under General Patton. He came back from the war, and we had 9 kids in our family. When he passed 11 years ago, the legacy was incredible. Something like I think it was 53 grandkids and 30 some great grandkids.
Wow.
And my dad was one who believed in the greatness of our country. He believed in integrity. He lived it. I always had this sense around my dad. My dad was just such a great man, such a loving man, that when I looked into my dad's face, I always sensed this is the way God would look, just in terms of a pure aspect of love toward his family. And we're missing that dynamic greatly. People are taking it for granted. They're not realizing the impact of the missing male in today's culture. And men need to stand up. They need to reclaim their position. There has been, in the religious context, we talk about the Jezebel spirit, where there's been a female hijacking of the culture. And it has been at a great peril to the kids, to women themselves, and to men. And they need to reclaim their manhood from the corn purses of the feminists, if you know what I'm referring to. And they've got them clipped in their coin purses, and the men need to step up. And it's not any big giant leap, because when you are operating in your rightful position, in much the same way as we the people, if we operate in the position, in that God-given position that's been well established for us, that it's a government of, for, and by we the people, we're the authority position. But if you relinquish that authority, then you get the America that you have today. You have the families. If the men relinquish their authoritative and rightful positions, you have the dysfunctional families that we have today that harvest a guy like Harvey Weinstein and other casting couch producers and those of their ilk that have done an incredible amount of damage to not only women, but young men. I mean, Corey Feldman has been yelling about this for a long time, and even Barbara Wawa couldn't handle it. It just freaked her out. But so nobody can sit there and say they were not aware of it. They were aware of all this stuff. They just took, they just, made a active choice to ignore it.
Amen. Wise words, indeed. And I just want to say this as we come to a close with our time together. You had mentioned your father, and I could sense the admiration that you had for your dad. My dad would have been 95 years old today. He served in the Pacific Theater of Operation as opposed to the European Theater. And he sounds much like your father in terms of his thoughts and beliefs, and I lost him 22 years ago. But there we have it too, the difference in generational differences. But thank you for mentioning your father, because it reminded me of my father as well. Okay. Wow. BillMartinezLive.com. Bill, thank you so very much for your gracious gift of time on our program. We certainly will be telling everyone about your program. We value it very highly. You're an inspiration. You're an informational asset out there to the American public and to the world. And we thank you for what you do.
Well, thank you. You guys are doing a great job as well, and it is an honor to be on your show. I appreciate the time.
Well, the honor is ours. Bill, come back again when you have the time. Open invitation, open door for you.
You got it. Right. Take care, guys.
Thank you so much.
All right, brother. That's Bill Martinez. Bill Martinez Live. What a great man. And in the industry, Joe, the true professional in the industry.
Absolutely. That was a fantastic interview. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It was great give and take. He was very laid back and very knowledgeable. Always fun to do interviews like that, especially with people in the media who are doing things for the right reasons.
And he is doing God, life and liberty. I mean, it's right there.
Truth.
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to thank Bill McIntosh, Acosta Media. Special thanks to Bill McIntosh. Bill, thank you so much. You are a great guy for arranging that. We really appreciate all you do. Bill McIntosh, Acosta Media, God bless you, my friend. Folks, we're right back. 3 minutes of that work break.
Just what kind of thriller predicts the future? In 3 days in the belly of the beast, Daniel Holdings wrote about the God Particle before CERN actually discovered the God Particle. In As the Darkness Falls, Daniel wrote about an Islamist terrorist confederacy that rose up out of Syria and declared a caliphate 3 years before ISIS was ever heard of. In his newest novel, Between the Veil, Daniel talks about a space between dimensions where supernatural beings can walk. He says that these novels are a warning from the Creator to his creation. Will war come to America? Will the world's economies collapse? Are we looking at increased earthquakes and volcanic activity? Will the United States fall into civil war? You can find all of Daniel's work at his website, danielholdings.com. That's danielholdings.com. All of these things and more are talked about in Daniel's books. To find out what's coming next, go to danielholdings.com.
Worldwide demand is making coconuts one of the highest yielding cash crops available today. Coca-Cola, Pepsi, and many high net worth individuals have invested billions of dollars into coconuts for strong growth and solid long-term income. Yields could be as high as 18% or more per year. Capital appreciation and exceptional income for up to 60 long years would be an absolutely brilliant investment to pass on to future generations. Diversify wisely with direct ownership of fully managed coconuts on prime farmland close to the beautiful Costa Rican border. For more information, qualified accredited investors should go to profitsincoconuts.com or phone 855-888-6288. That's 855-888-6288. This announcement does not constitute an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offer made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288 or visit profitsincoconuts.com. Profitsincoconuts.com.
You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.